Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Stephanie L., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, September 20th, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're on page 47, the fourth full paragraph, beginning with, besides a seemingly inability to accept much, and ending with, for as long as some of us were. We're going to read and comment on that one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Dion R. reading the text, Lisa N. reading page 164, and Jennifer H. is our backup reader today. Our newcomer greeter is Loretta M., and announcements will be Jody E. The reference ID number for yesterday, Thursday, September 19th, 2024, is 21,760 or 21760. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,762 or 21762. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Robin B. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you, Stephanie. This is Robin B. in Ohio. I am a compulsive overeater. And the 12 steps are, 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrong. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry out, and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Robin B. And then we will now ask Joanne L. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, Stephanie. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for your service today, and especially welcome to the newcomers. My name is Joanne L. from Rhode Island, and I'm still recovering because I'm still writing. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lease problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Joanne L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, and then we stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature that we are discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, please let us know. Pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 47, that bottom paragraph, fourth full paragraph at the bottom of that page that begins with, besides a seemingly inability to accept much, and ending with, for as long as some of us were. We are reading and commenting on one paragraph this morning, and we'll now ask Dion R. to begin reading. Good morning, Dion.
Good morning, Stephanie, and thank you for your service. This is Dion R. calling from Warren, Georgia. Besides a seemingly inability to accept my company, we often found ourselves handicapped by obstinateness, sensitiveness, and unreasonable prejudice. Many of us have been so touchy that even casual reference to spiritual things made us bristle with antagonism. This sort of thinking had to be abandoned. Though some of us resisted, we found no great difficulty in casting aside such feelings. Faced with alcoholic destruction, we soon became as open-minded spiritual matters as we had tried to be on other courses. In this respect, alcohol was a great persuader. It finally beat us into a state of reasonableness. Sometimes this was a tedious process. We hope no one else would be prejudiced for as long as some of us were. Whew, powerful. And starting with the inability to accept, most when it's just precise seemingly inability to accept much on faith, we found ourselves handicapped by obstinacy, you know, I don't want to see it nobody else's way, sensitive, and unreasonable prejudice. That one right there. That unreasonable prejudice. You mentioned God to me when I came in these rooms, and I have a, yeah, hissy fit if we said, I want to argue, I want to get somewhere and tell you, like, oh, I roll my eyes. It's something because I was such a hypocrite. I went through the formation of going to church, doing all that, gotten all the time, making sure the kids can get there on time to see, you know, the world can see we're great family. But I did not believe. And I had lost my faith. And think I'm so grateful today that my higher power didn't lose faith in me. He brought me all you beautiful people. He showed me you guys had went to the bottom too, and probably worse some people more than I did in recovering from food addiction. But you guys were living happy. I've seen people that were happy, normal, to me it was normal, you know, they were happy. I didn't, what a concept. Some people were happy, whatever size they were, and I saw that. I was attracted to it. And so someone said, you just got to put aside those old ideas you had about God. And I said, I do, or, you know, something. But the fact is, I finally had to set aside all that crap. I mean, all my way of thinking and believing that I had against the higher power or a higher power. So the brain was the power. Until God, someone said, just fake it till you make it. I'm not going to fake it. That's being a hypocrite. I was faking in everything else, so why couldn't I fake that? So I faked it, and I began to say, I think I can, or there is a higher power. And I just kept saying it, and then I'm, you know, doing the, I began to believe it. Like the little engine that could, I think I can, I think I can. And then I began to believe. That's a whole lot and a lot, but that was, to me, is me setting aside in my way of thinking and grab hold of this new way of living that you beautiful people offer me that I got from my higher power. And with that, I'll pass. That's all I have, but I just thank you all for your recovery and allow me to set aside my old ideas, and I'm still doing it to this day. And with that, I'll pass.
Perfect timing. Thank you so much, Jan R. All right, we're now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. We also ask that you please keep your share to 3 minutes. This allows time for as many people as possible to share. I'll remind you either with the timer or just let you know, hey, your time is up. When you hear the timer or you hear your time is up, please finish promptly so that others can share too. If you could please give your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Diane.
Wendy M.
Chicago.
Did I hear Diane C.?
M.C. Chicago.
M.C. from Chicago. And then, did I hear someone from Israel?
In Tennessee.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who was that?
Nick in Tennessee.
I heard Tennessee. I keep just hearing Tennessee. So sorry. What was your name?
Nick.
Nick. Gotcha. All right. Gotcha, Nick. Nick F. Okay. Who else would like to share?
McCall.
Wendy M.
Massachusetts.
I heard McCall from Massachusetts. And then I think I heard Wendy M.
Yes.
All right, great. And who else would like to share?
Rachel L.
All right, Rachel, I got you. Where are you from?
San Diego, California.
California. Okay, gotcha. All right. So we'll start with this lineup. I've got Diane M.C., Nick F., McCall, Wendy M., Rachel L. We'll start with Diane, followed by Nick F. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning. Thank you, moderator. This is Diane MC in Chicagoland, and boy, this was a trip down a memory lane for me. It sure made me mindful that food is not my problem. It goes so much deeper than that, and I'm so grateful that a diet didn't work for me, because I would still have problems that needed to be addressed, like a personality change, like an attitude change, change of my mindset. That wouldn't have happened. My higher power just immediately relieved me of this obsessive compulsive disease. I'd still be stuck with some pretty stinking thinking. So I can so relate to where it said unreasonable prejudice, sensitivity, obstinance, just super sensitive regarding spiritual things, you know, bristling over that. Because I did come in with a faith life, but if it differed from mine, then it did make me uncomfortable, kind of bristling. But this just made me so mindful of those years of real, real sensitivity. Not that I don't sometimes now, but that was a way of life. In other words, living by my feelings alone, that kind of my life versus today, you know, I've got principles, I've got guidelines that help me be a better and that I don't today have to be that very super sensitive person. But it did make me mindful, you know, the problem really is centered in my mind and how I need my higher power help with that. Just as my higher power has given me neutrality with food, working on my personality. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Diane MC from Chicago, Illinois. Next, we've got Nick F., followed by McCall. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, family. Can I be heard?
We can hear you.
All right. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater, recovered alcoholic. You know, sure, the guy has done for me what I could not do for myself. And to me, this reading just brings about the first principle about honesty. And, you know, I had to get honest about how I was feeling about my life before I could get honest with my first sponsor about my food. And I didn't know it was going to go that way, but I, for the first time, started getting honest about, you know, though I had the degrees, though I had this or the marriage or this or that, I really had lost all sense of self. And I just began, you know, I didn't have courage to pick up the phone yet. And I just began to email with this lady, and I just told her how disgusted I was and how much I hated myself and I hated God, you know, and this person didn't judge me. But this this obstinacy, this unreasoning prejudice that is talking about the antagonism, I'll never forget when early on when I first got abstinent, even though I had became willing, to believe it, this power was going to help me with the food. You know, I remember somebody text me a scripture. I had began making outreach, and somebody sent me a scripture, and I promptly called this lady, and I said, "Don't you ever do that again." You know, and now me and this lady, because she can hear the recovery, she can hear the change, and I'm just so thankful that God has allowed people that I've let people back in. Once I put down the food, I have no other option but to let God in, and, you know, right now my world is kind of upside down, but I think of the goodness of God and how I have no desire to hurt myself with food, even if it comes up again. I have a sponsor that I can be honest with. I have fellows. I can get on this meeting and I can share, and I don't have to feel ashamed, and I don't have to feel guilty, and the best thing
longer alone. You know, it's not a fair fight. Me and the food by myself, the food will win every time. But me and this fellowship and a high power that's greater than me that can help me with this food, the food doesn't have a chance. And so once I get off this call, you know, I'm at work, and but I can write a 10-step if some emotions come up. I don't have to cram or go to a takeout or do a DoorDash, you know. A whole world of new opportunities and options have opened up. So I'm so grateful to be on this meeting. I'm so grateful to you all for your continued service. And with that, I'll surely pass. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, Nick F. from Tennessee. Next, we're going to have McCall followed by Wendy M. Good morning, McCall.
Hi, good morning. This is McCall, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. In Massachusetts, and I'm really glad to be here this morning. Thanks for your service. Thanks, everyone, for being here. It's a form of service. Oh, what a great paragraph. And it just, I mean, it speaks to me then, and it speaks to me now. And I hope it continues to speak to me as I, you know, just as long as I live, really. So for me, I forgot to start my timer. You know, agnostic, you know, sometimes I have to literally go back and look up definitions. And a definition I found just briefly is a person who holds the answers to the basic questions of existence. And, you know, that was me. It was like I had faith if everything was working out okay for me. And if it wasn't, I, you know, the only thing I knew to do to console myself was to eat, whatever, whenever, however. And even today, as I live in recovery, like, because I have the steps now, I can continue to look at my agnosticism that still can be prevalent. You know, I mean, thankfully, I know to turn to God now, but I can, you know, I think I can still hold the answers. So, and they really do handicap me. It debilitates me. My obstinacy, I had to look up that word, firmly and stubbornly adhering to one's purpose and opinion. I think I know what's best. Sensitiveness, unreasoning prejudice, touchy. I'm so touchy. But, you know, again, thanks that I, you know, today have put down my alcoholic food and am slowly, you know, more and more open to spiritual things. It really does bring me a sense of comfort, you know, making outreach calls, turning to others. And it really has finally beat me into a state of reasonableness. So I'm grateful today that I'm willing to try something else, you know, because left on my own, I am faced with alcoholic destruction. My thinking will kill me. So glad to be here, and I will pass to Wendy.
And McCall, what's your last initial, please?
It's S, as in Sam, and my first name is spelled M-I-C-H-A-L.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much, Mikhail S.
Thank you.
Next, we've got Wendy M. followed by Rachel L. Good morning, Wendy.
Yes, good morning, Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado. Recovered, grateful. Stephanie L., thank you so much for being here for so many reasons for me personally. Thank you. Oh, this is just brilliant writing, right? First of all, I am so sensitive, right? Like, don't you know? And if I'm in a room with people and somebody maybe looks at me wrong, we're done. We're absolutely done. I'm so sensitive because I think nothing about myself, and all I think about is myself. And I grew up in a household that was, I thought, really tolerant, but apparently we were super intolerant of people who were different than us. So, for example, if you bring up a God that wasn't mine, not only am I right and you're wrong, it's worse than that. Like, there's an antagonism, there's a bristle. But then, you know, here's the punchline, right? Oh, so good. Right, we had We had no great difficulty in casting aside such feelings. That's like page 27. We're going to cast aside everything we think we know, everything, all our ideas, all our attitudes. Everything's going to be cast aside, and it will. And what will happen is we will get a new way, right? God will give us a completely different experience. Now, why would I be willing to do this? Why would I be willing to weigh and measure my food? Why would I be willing to be on this line? Because food is the great persuader, right? It doesn't even matter what I believe or what you believe. It doesn't matter to me. Why? Because food and my life brought me down to such like a horrific place that's going to persuade me. You don't even have to tell me that there's a God or there's not a God. It won't matter. I will just act as if because it beat me into a state of reasonableness, right? Like I want what you have. I want what you have, and I don't want what I had. And that's enough. God made my life so unreasonable, right? Unmanageable. Destructive, page 52, all of the bedevilments, right? God knocked on my door and said, it's time. It's time for you to have an open mind. It's time not only to have an open mind, but to do something different, do all of it differently. And I'm saying, absolutely, my unmanageable life, the food, beat me into a state of reasonableness. There's no other persuader except the disease, right? There's no other persuader than a life is so deeply unmanageable that all I have is God, right? And that will open my mind more than anything. And it did. And this is, and it's just the brilliance of beating into a state of reasonableness. I don't know how more brilliant it gets. But I get to cast today. I get to cast aside everything I think I know. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Oh, thank you so much, Wendy M. from Colorado. Next up, we've got Rachel L., and then we'll take some more names. Rachel, good morning.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Perfect. Rachel L. from San Diego, California, compulsive overeater. So I'm only 20 days in of abstinence, but I always say, my first couple of days in OA, my higher power was Steve the Rock, because that's all I could bring myself to think of some sort of higher power, because the whole G-O-D word scared me. I couldn't bring myself to think of this scary guy in a robe up in the sky judging me. And, if you told me that that's what OA was, I was running away. But nobody told me that. They told me it was a God of my understanding, a God of my, who loved me. And finally, someone sat me down and was like, Rachel, write down your perfect partner. And I was like, oh, I could do that. And I sat down and wrote down a list of things. And they go, now write down your higher power. And I was like, And they go, it should be as simple as writing down your perfect partner. And I was like, it's not that simple, though. And they're like, yeah, it is. And I was like, oh, Lord. So people think I'm joking when I literally said Steve the Rock was my higher power for like a week, but it's true. And, I tell people sometimes, that's where you have to start. It's funny, it's simple, but you have to start somewhere that's higher than you. Even if it's a silly little rock named Steve, it's somewhere higher than you. And I am self, and I'm working on it, but it's something that I need to do, and it's one of my character defects, and my higher power loves me for it and tells me, will hit me upside the head with a 2x4 about it, but, it's something I got to work on. Thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Rachel L. from California, and if you've just joined us, let me fill you in on where we are in the book. We are on page 47, reading that bottom paragraph, or the fourth full paragraph, beginning with, besides the seemingly inability to accept much, ending with, for as long as some of us were. And we're commenting on just that one paragraph this morning. And I just want to remind everyone that You know, please limit your sharing to every third day so others can share too. So if you shared Wednesday or Thursday on any vision meeting, please allow others to share their stuff, their experience, strength, and hope with that paragraph today. So if you'd like to share, please share with me your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from.
Suze S. from New Jersey.
Is that an F as in Frank, Suze?
S as in Sam.
Gotcha. S as in Sam. Suze S. Got ya.
Joan Marie M. from Nevada.
Hey, Joan Marie. Got ya.
Thank you.
Who else would like to share?
Alex K.
Hey, Alex, got ya?
Thank you.
Donna B.
Hey, Donna. And that's Colorado, am I correct?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, awesome. Okay. And we can probably take one or two more. Okay, or we can hold there and see what happens later. Okay, I've got Suze S., Joan Marie M., Alex K., Donna B. Suze, you're going to be up first, followed by Joan Marie. And good morning, Suze.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Oh, good. Sometimes people get unmuted. So anyway, hello. I'm Suze. Thank you, everyone, for your service. And what a great reading. I don't know. I'm kind of homegrown here, I guess. Just a matter of really listening. And I don't share a lot, but because I talk a lot. I talk a lot, but sharing a lot, I'd rather have something, I don't know, not brilliant, but at least useful. And I guess for today, the most useful thing to me really is the idea of, you know, being arm wrestled yet again to the floor by higher power and saying, okay, I'll do it your way. We'll see what happens because my way is not working. But I really need to let go of all of my preconceived notions. I really like to set aside prayer. And there was a prayer that my sponsor gave me that was just to give to higher power all of me, the bad of me as well as the good of me. And it's not just, oh, here's the bad of me. Thank you. You know, no, I guess I am certainly going to talk to my sponsor about it, but I'm going to talk about, you know, what about the bad of me after I've given the bad of me? In other words, I'm loved for all of me. That's what huge part of this is. But do I have to do anything? Well, there are three A's. It is a slogan in program: awareness, exception, and action. And I need to be aware of what I'm doing, what my default or defect is, and then move on from there. I joined this program so I could learn how to deal with my emotions. And oh boy, did I. I mean, yes, vanity was part of it. I wanted to lose weight and keep it off. But the other part of it was to really grow up, to know how to deal with my emotions. I'm now going to be 70 in January. I think I joined this program finally at age 67, 68, something like that, in May. And for me, it's a matter of really letting go. I always thought I was spiritual, but my higher power was too small. My higher power wasn't personal. I begged a lot from my higher power, and that's not what that's about. I had guilt and shame, and I don't need it anymore. This has helped so much, this program. It really has, and I'm so grateful. And it's good to stay close to it, even later than sooner. Both, really. But I'll just keep listening and keep practicing.
Thanks,
thank you. Thank you for your service.
Thank you so much, Suze S. from New Jersey. Next up, we've got Joan Marie, followed by Alex K. Good morning, Joan Marie.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for all the shares. That really helped me. What really stood out to me was about faced with alcoholic destruction. We became open-minded. And that's what it reminds me of, the essentials of the program. How? Honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. And without those, we can't work. I can't work this program. I literally cannot work this program. If I bustle about anything that my sponsor is telling me, how it works, how the steps work, how I have a relationship with God of my understanding, that I don't block him with the food in front of him as a God. So with that, that's the reasonableness. You know, it's about the food, but yet it's not about the food. It's about the food because when we put the alcoholic foods into our body, it starts a craving. But what it's really about is living the way that the steps have, the principles of the steps. That's what it's about. It's about we're undisciplined, so we let God discipline us in a certain way. So having, for me, it's having a sponsor, having a food plan, and then texting that food plan out. And that's not for everybody. You have to do what works for you, but you have to me, I can't say you have to because that's not right. It would be advisable to be honest about it, open-minded to listen, and willingness to do the instructions in this big book. Powerful, powerful book. Thank you for letting me share. Have a blessed day.
Well, thank you so much, Joan Marie M. in Nevada. Next, we've got Alex K., followed by Donna B. Good morning, Alex.
Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you, everyone, for being here and doing service. Excuse me. I'm Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, given a reprieve for today. That phrase, bristle with antagonism, really stuck out to me because it so accurately describes my attitude towards religion and spirituality especially, but also in other areas, though I probably would have said I was open-minded. I had very set ideas, and my mind would snap tightly shut at times when I heard something different that didn't fit in with my ideas. I wasn't teachable. I lacked humility, though I didn't know it at the time. I thought I knew everything, and I didn't need to listen to anything else, and that kept me stuck in the same place and prevented growth and separated me from other people and from my higher power. I'm so grateful that this program, my higher power, have changed this for me. Slowly and gradually, my mind started to open up little by little to new ideas. I became willing to listen. I became more receptive to help and healing, and thank goodness, because as long as I cling to my old ideas, I can't recover. I'll stay in the problem, in my thinking, which leads me to isolation and killing myself with food. I was trying to solve my problems with my own, on my own, with my thinking, which I never can. They say a sick mind can't heal a sick mind. That's so true. I need lots of help. I need you all, and I need my higher power, not only when it comes to my eating, but in all areas of my life. And now I'm so much more open-minded, and that's one of the essentials of recovery, along with honesty and willingness. And now I welcome new ideas. I want to learn. That's how I grow. I need to learn to keep growing. And that allows for a much richer, fuller life experience and ongoing growth and progress, more connection with others and my higher power, and truly being part of life. And I visualize instead of a tiny flat, black and white, one-dimensional, never-changing life, I get a multi-dimensional, beautiful, colorful, huge tapestry that gets bigger and better and richer every day. So grateful. Thank you, everyone, for helping me with my recovery today. Pass.
Well, thank you so much, Alex K. from California. Next, we've got Donna B. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic. I do identify as a binge purge bulimic and a exercise bulimic, and I'm in Denver, Colorado. I have here written a definition for obstinacy that I like: resolute adherence to your own ideas or desires. And I think that captures the essence of my thinking and my living very accurately. It's just like this devout worship of my own ideas and what I want. I am having a toe fusion surgery a week from today. I have arthritis in my toe joint, and the joint will be replaced with a metal plate. And I have a lot of ideas about how I think things should go. And this program reminds me that when I'm stuck in a worship of my own ideas and my own desires, then I'm cut off from a higher power. When I started to really resonate with a higher power, I used to call her the Arkansas River. And I could see that sometimes the water levels were high and sometimes the water levels were low. And sometimes there was a high current and sometimes there was a slow current. I didn't know where the Arkansas River originated. I don't know where the Arkansas River ends. But there's one piece of the Arkansas River that I've had the opportunity to walk along for many, many years. And it's beautiful and stunning, and it's always there when I go to it. But with the surgery coming and with other complications and in life just being lifey, I realized that I actually do need a higher power. It doesn't just do miraculous things like rivers and oceans and sunsets, but actually is personal to me, that is invested and interested in planning ahead for me, thinking about outcomes for me, and wanting things to work out for me. And sometimes that doesn't look like anything that I want. But I am very, very, very slowly opening up to the possibility that God's plans may be better than mine. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B. from Colorado. We have time for probably one, maybe two more. Who else would like to share? Please,
Jody E.
First name and last initial. Hey, Jody. Jody
Linda
E.
Linda G.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
Linda G. from Alabama.
All right. Well, we'll stop there. I've got Jody E. followed by Linda G. Jody, you're up. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California. And I'm inspired to share because, so I've always believed in God. Today, I don't always true. Just with abandon, turn my will and my life over to the care of God. I too can be obstinate and can worry about things, be in fear. There's pretty much a fear of the day every day. And that is evidence that I'm not completely trusting my higher power. Lately, it's been around political issues. And, political issues. And I'm not in charge. I'm certainly not in charge. I believe that this higher power is in charge and has a plan or has an idea. But God does allow people to make choices and to make mistakes. Just as my higher power allows me to be in my disease and to make lots of mistakes and to suffer, so does God allow us as a species to make mistakes and to suffer. And as a whole, as a human species, we're going through growing pains big time. And it's hard to watch. Just as it's hard to watch an addict when they're using. It's hard to watch the human story unfold. But I do believe in this higher power, and just as an individual can find recovery, so can our whole human family, I believe. And we're in those growing pains, it seems like to me. Anyway, thank you all for your shares and for your service and for 12-stepping me today. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Jody E. from California. And Linda, we only have like 1 minute. Do you want to take the 1 minute?
Linda, no, I'll pass.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll just go ahead and end there and give about 30 more seconds to our newcomers. So we're going to now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Lisa N., can you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you. Yes, I will. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is still in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.